Chapter 16.
Nen Yim watched the Damutek ships settle amongst the alien trees with a giddiness she tried hard to conceal. No reward could come from a display of emotion, especially childish ones. A shaper was circumspect. A shaper was analytical. A shaper did not stare in wonder and joy and wave the tendrils of her headdress in abandon. So Nen Yim did none of that. But by the gods, she felt like doing it. This was a planet. Perhaps technically a moon, but a world. An unknown world. The unfamiliar smells of the place, the unanticipated movement of the air, the unimagined oddness of a gravity that wasn't exactly right, had her senses buzzing. But the real excitement came from within her. Like the thick-trunked Damutek, she was a seed, finally come to the right soil to sprout in. Soil. She reached down, bent, and scratched up a fistful of the rich black dirt. It smelled like nothing she had ever known. A bit like the sluices beneath the Murnet breeding pools, or the exhalations of the Maulure of the great world ships. The latter took in waste through its vast capillary network, and digested it into nutrients, metals, and air. As a child, she'd often stood where the Maulure exhaled. Until now, it was the only wind she had ever known.
"Your first time on a true world adept?"
Nen Yim turned, thinking to find one of her fellow adepts speaking to her, but suddenly arranged the tentacles of her headdress into genuflection when she saw it was no such lowly creature but her new master, Mejan Quad. The master let her finish, then beckoned her to face her.
"You may turn your eyes on me, adept."
"Yes, Master Mejan."
Mejan Quad was a female, nearing the final edge of youth. If she were not a shaper, she might yet bear a child, but of course that was the one form of shaping forbidden to masters of their caste. She was lean, but still wore the form of a mature female, despite her high status. Her broad, high-cheekboned face bore the ritual forehead scars of her domain, and her right hand was an eight-fingered master's hand. Her other alterations, in keeping with the aesthetic of the shapers, were more discreet. The marks of her sacrifices were not external, as they tended to be for the other castes. She wore the body-hugging ujith of a master, its tiny cilia rippling in subtle waves of color as it sought and captured the alien microorganisms in the atmosphere to feed itself.
"And answer my question," the master went on.
"Yes, master. I have never before known a world outside of our world ships."
"And what are your impressions?"
"Our world ships are built for centuries, perhaps millennia. Yun Yu Zhan created planets and moons for millions and billions of cycles. The resources in the moon's interior are released slowly by tectonic processes, or by life adapting to lack."
She looked back down at the dirt beneath her feet.
"But it does feel so strange, the unimaginable wealth I'm standing on, and the life. Different from our own, and varied, and none of it made to serve us."
The Master Shaper narrowed her eyes.
"It is made to serve us," she said quietly. "It is the will of the gods that life serves us."
"You were taught this."
"Of course, Master," Nen Yim said. "I only meant we have not shaped it yet. But we shall."
"Yes, we shall,"
Mejan Quad agreed. "And I emphasize we. Do you know why you are an adept, Nen Yim? Do you know why you were here, and not correcting the mutations of methane-fixing retromforteps in a decaying Maulur?"
"No, Master."
"Because I saw your work on the endocrine cloister in the world ship Banu Kor."
Nen Yim knotted her headdress in a humble posture.
"I only did what needed to be done," she said.
"You did it optimally. Many would have stopped short at the molding of tea, but you went beyond that. You applied the Vul-Ag protocol, though such has never been used in an endocrine cloister.
I thought it would make the outer osmotic membranes more efficiently transpire.
Yes. Tradition and propriety are of absolute importance to our task, and yet immersion in those qualities can lead to hidebound thinking. I need adepts who are resourceful, who can use the sacred, unchanging knowledge in new ways. Do you understand?
I believe so, Master.
Nen-Yim answered cautiously. A small lump of fear formed in her throat. Did the Master know? But she couldn't. If she knew that Nen-Yim had dabbled in heresy, she would never have promoted her, unless she herself... No, not a Master. That was impossible.
Don't believe, the Master said. No, and you shall go far. Do you see? As you say, after generations we have a whole new galaxy of life at our fingertips. It is time to demonstrate exactly what Yun Yuzhan intended for us.
Nen-Yim nodded, watching the Domoteks again. They were already splitting from their protective skins and beginning to expand, to grow into highly specialized shaper compounds.
Come, adept, the Master said. It is time to receive your hand.
So soon? Nen-Yim asked.
Our work begins tomorrow. We have one of the Jedi, you know. Only one, but we shall have more. Supreme Overlord Shimra himself is watching what we do here most carefully. We will not disappoint him.
Nen-Yim stepped from the ceremonial bath into a darkened Ujith. At her touch it wrapped itself firmly about her, and she felt the tingle as it inserted cilia into her pores. It was not a full-skin Ujith, but a shortened garment that left her arms and most of her legs bare. She smoothed back her short dark hair and held out her right hand, looking at it as if for the first time rather than the last. Then she allowed the attendant to escort her into the darkened grotto of Yuneshel, where the Master waited. The grotto smelled of brine and oil. It was close and damp, and reacted faintly to the touch. The grotto was a distant relative of the Yamask. What you felt in the chamber came back to you, enhanced. And so now both her eagerness and her trepidation had her pulse hammering as she knelt at the mouth of the grotto, a hole the size of a fist surrounded by a massive bulge of muscle. Without pausing or flinching, she placed her hand through the opening. For a moment nothing happened. Then the teeth slid out of their sheaths, eight of them, and pricked into her wrist. Sweat started on her brow as she surrendered to the pain, as the teeth, with glacial slowness, sank through tissue, grated into bone. The lips closed occasionally to suck away the blood. The grotto gave her back her pain, amplified, and her breath went choppy. She lost her sense of time. Every nerve ending in her body was raw, as if the cilia of her garment were writhing needles. Until, finally, the teeth met in the center of her wrist. She felt them click together. She tried to take a long, calming breath to prepare for what was to come next. It happened quickly. The mouth suddenly rotated 90 degrees. Her arm twisted with it no more than a degree or so, and then the hand came off with a wet snick. Nen-Yim held up the stump of her wrist and stared at it in dull astonishment. She barely noticed the attendant taking her by the shoulders, guiding her toward the dark basin in the center of the grotto.
"I can do it," she whispered.
She knelt by the basin, her head spinning. Dark things moved in the waters, five-legged things that came to the scent of her blood eagerly. She pushed her gushing stump into the water. She had thought her body could feel no greater pain than it already had. She was wrong. She didn't feel it in her hand at all, but in a great spasm that arched her body like a bow and kept it cramped there.
She couldn't see the creature grappling with her wrist. For a horrible moment, she didn't want to. A great flash of light exploded in her head, and for a time she knew nothing. She awoke, and tears of shame started. Through them she saw the master standing over her. "No one has ever endured it without a brief lapse the first time," she said. "There is no shame on this occasion. If you ever receive your master's hand, it will be different. But you will be ready."
Hand.
Nin-Yim raised it before her. It was still seating itself, a thick greenish secretion marking the line between it and her wrist. It had four narrow fingers and a thumb, protruding from the thin but flexible carapace that now served as the top of her hand. Thousands of small sensor knobs covered the fingers and palm. The two fingers farthest from her thumb ended in small pincers. The finger nearest the thumb had a thin, sharp, retractable claw. She tried to wiggle the fingers. Nothing happened.
"It will take some days for the nerve connections to complete themselves, and some time after that for your brain to become used to the finer modifications," the master said. "Rejoice, Nin-Yim. You are now truly an adept. You will join me in shaping the Jedi, and will bring glory to our caste, our domain, and the Yuuzhan Vong.